Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Thank you so much for your patience. We had some technical difficulties earlier. Normally the show is at 11:30, but today we had to move it to 12. So thank you, if you're a listener, for your patience and hanging in there. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. I'm going to be giving away a book today. I just got off the phone with Bernice McFadden talking about her book, Gathering of Waters. So if you want a free copy of the book, you need to follow at Joy Keys or become a fan on Facebook to find out how to win. But now I'm going to be talking about a more serious issue, arthritis. March is Arthritis Awareness Month, and as you know, I do tons of shows on a variety of health topics, from diabetes. Recently, we did a lupus Twitter chat, endometriosis, sarcoidosis, multiple sclerosis, all types of things. I had never done a show on arthritis, so I wanted to fit that in there and try to make myself more knowledgeable about this matter, but also to share with you, the listener, about arthritis, because I'm sure there's a lot of myths out there that we need to break. An estimated 50 million Americans suffer from arthritis or arthritis-related symptoms. That's basically one in five people are struggling with this. So it's a very important issue. It's a hot topic. I have some great guests who've been very flexible with me today. Helene Bilal from the Arthritis National Research Foundation. She's the executive director. Good morning, Helene.
Good morning. Thank you.
And also a special guest who kind of fit in at the last second, Dr. Carl Ware. He's a member and head of the Division of Molecular Immunology at La Jolla Institute of Allergy and Immunology. You recently sent me some updated information, but good morning, Dr. Carl Ware. Thank you for calling in today.
Good morning, Joy. It's nice to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. How long have you been working with the Research Foundation?
I've been associated with the Arthritis National Research Foundation for, 15 years now, I believe.
And what made you get connected with them? Your research work, or did someone reach out to you?
Well, it's partly both of those issues. My former mentor, who I got my PhD with, has been associated with the foundation for over 25 years as a scientist and an advisor in identifying young scientists that are in need of research support, grant funds. And that's what we do, is to provide support for young investigators to attract them into the field of arthritis so that we can continue the research that needs to be done.
Let me mention to the audience, their web address is curearthritis.org, again, curearthritis.org. Now, Helene, he mentioned about helping researchers. Tell us a little bit more about exactly how can a researcher go about getting a grant from your organization? Are there forms online? Is there a link they can go to, a phone number they can call?
Absolutely. Our foundation only funds research. We don't do patient programs because we feel that research is going to be the key to new treatments and eventually a cure for these debilitating diseases. And yes, they apply online. Researchers, it's very easy to go to our website. We only have a once-a-year grant review process, but we have a world-renowned scientific advisory board that reviews the grants and makes recommendations so that we're only funding the best and brightest young researchers who have the best chance of possibly getting new and better treatments out there for the people who need them.
Well, that's why I wanted to have you on again, because, I mean, one in five people, Dr. Ware, is that statistic correct, or do you think it's more or less that are suffering from arthritis or arthritis-related?
Joy, it depends on how you define arthritis. There are really two major types of arthritis. The one form that's most devastating is rheumatoid arthritis, and that's an autoimmune disease. And about 1 to 2% of the population are afflicted with that disease. And then there's osteoarthritis, which is often associated with joint destruction due to the result of overuse of the joints, typically onset and later in life, but athletes suffer from it. It's not an autoimmune disease condition, but it doesn't involve the immune system and inflammatory processes, and that's what we're trying to target.
Well, according to the CDC, in 2003, the total cost of arthritis was about $128 billion, including $81 billion in direct costs, medical, and $47 billion in indirect costs, such as loss of earnings. Now, in terms of the osteoarthritis, which I think probably most people are aware of, why does that happen? You said overuse, but what are some other factors that, I guess, encourage or push along to make it happen?
Well, certainly your family history is an important feature of it. And a number of factors that we really don't have a handle on at this point in time. Some people can be athletes their whole life and not have any difficulty. I think in that regard, arthritis is puzzling. But there's clearly a family history associated with it. And other traumatic aspects of accumulating damage in your joints over your lifetime seem to contribute to the development of the common form of arthritis, osteoarthritis.
Now, Helene, talk to me about some of the exciting research that's on the forefront that you're aware of from the grants that you've provided.
Okay, well, again, as Dr. Ware has just explained, there's a whole spectrum here. On the one end, it's osteoarthritis, the wear and tear as we age as an athlete. On the other end is rheumatoid arthritis and lupus and scleroderma and psoriatic arthritis, which, again, is what Phil Mickelson, the PGA golfer, has. These are autoimmune forms of the disease. So we're funding a lot of work in the area of autoimmunity and studying the human immune system, because once we understand the mechanisms of the human immune system, not only will it help the people who have these forms of arthritis, but it helps for diseases that you've already talked about, like diabetes, like MS, that are autoimmune diseases, because that work carries across the spectrum to those other areas. So we are funding work in looking at the genes, and can we manipulate the genes to stop the progression of the diseases. One of our researchers recently discovered a protein in the joint of osteoarthritis that is thought to begin the process. So if we can either block that protein or synthesize something, then possibly we could stop the progression of the disease. So these are the kinds of things that we're doing, is we're trying to fund, our researchers are looking at the mechanisms and trying to see if we can stop these diseases before they get started, before the damage occurs and you can't reverse it.
Dr. Ware, so one of the focuses in your bio, I mentioned about Crohn's sufferers. How is that connected? Is that also an autoimmune disease, or talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure, that's a very insightful question. It is, and in fact, over the last just few years, we've begun to understand that the processes involved in the immune response against your own tissues, for example, in Crohn's disease, which is an autoimmune disease directed against your intestinal tract from your mouth to the other end, if you will, has a lot in common with rheumatoid arthritis that seems to be just limited to the joints. And they are also very similar to the processes of inflammation that we see in psoriasis. So skin, joint, and intestine all have some common mechanisms that cause these diseases. And so that's giving us new insights into how to approach what used to be thought of as very distinct diseases, but may have a common underlying mechanism.
Well, my understanding, Dr. Ware, there is no cure for rheumatoid arthritis, but can you talk to the audience about what some of the treatments are? I guess you're dealing with the symptoms and treating the symptoms. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true. We are treating the symptoms, but the symptoms are caused by an overactive immune system that normally is there to protect you against infectious agents like viruses and bacteria. But rather than targeted at those organisms, the immune system seems to turn on its own tissues and cause inflammation in those tissues that leads to the destruction of those particular organs, if it's the joint, for example, in rheumatoid arthritis. So current treatments are directed at suppressing or halting the inflammatory process. And there are a number of drugs that do that at different sites in the inflammatory process. It's a very complex series of molecular and metabolic events that go on to initiate the inflammatory process. And so there are drugs such as the aspirin and Advil, the common anti-inflammatory drugs, which will lessen the symptoms. But those drugs act very short. They're short-term acting. They don't control autoimmune-like diseases. Some of the more newer drugs, such as are biologics that interrupt the communication that the white blood cells need in order to cause the inflammatory processes. Those are expensive drugs because they cost so much to manufacture. But the TNF inhibitors have had a really major impact in alleviating those symptoms and actually halting the progression of the disease, but they don't reverse the destruction that's already occurred in that particular organ. And so that's another new aspect of how people are approaching the research, is to think about how to regenerate these tissues.
Well, that's what I wanted to have the foundation on. I wanted to mention on your website, curearthritis.org, people can also see where their grant recipients are now. And they have some wonderful stories about, you know, the grant recipients and how the money and research has launched their careers. You can learn more about that. And also, as Helene mentioned earlier, you can apply for an ANRF research grant right there on the website. Also, you have a psoriatic research grant. Now, what are the differences, Helene, between the two there?
We did a collaboration with another major national organization, the National Psoriasis Foundation, and we specifically targeted psoriatic arthritis, which is kind of a combination of both and involves the skin, as Dr. Ware had said. And so we collaborated with them to fund a single person over a two-year period who was doing a study specific to that. Dr. Ware can tell you more about the study itself.
That's where.
Well, you're going to tax my memory here.
It was Elaine Husney at the Cleveland Clinic. Was our.
I believe she was developing a database of genetic analysis of patients with psoriatic arthritis, and those databases actually provide a lot of new information for scientists all across the country that are working in arthritis. So that's why we felt it was a very valuable project to fund, and this is a kind of a trend in nonprofit foundations, is to team up and collaborate to identify areas that haven't been well funded and put our money to good use in funding scientists in new areas.
Well, let me mention to them your 1-800 number. It's 1-800-588-CURE. People can call and make a donation to the Arthritis National Research Foundation. Dr. Ware, talk to me about the difference here, though, about juvenile rheumatoid arthritis and, I guess, adult-onset rheumatoid arthritis. What are the difference, or is it just the issue of age and when it happens?
Well, it's pretty clear that, obviously, there is a difference in juvenile versus adult in terms of age, but what we see in juvenile arthritis is a much stronger, more devastating disease because it happens during the development process when a child's bones are still forming. You know, the inflammatory process is extreme and cause more severe cases. We also find that juvenile arthritis is has much more of a genetic component, and it tends to be very aggressive. And in contrast to adult onset, which can be aggressive, but in most cases it can be managed with current therapies to a certain degree.
What are some of the symptoms that a parent might see in a child who has juvenile rheumatoid arthritis?
There are a number of symptoms. I apologize that I'm not a clinician to answer some of those key questions that you might see that a physician, frontline physician, might recognize. But typically it would be a failure to thrive. That is, your child's growth would be slowed. So almost every new mother, that's one of the things that they watch constantly is my young child gaining weight? Because at that age, they're growing very rapidly. Usually, you see onsets in the range of about 2 to 5 years, and up through puberty in that regard. So, there may be more specific symptoms associated with the older child as you move forward. Stiffness of joints is certainly one. Difficulty, protein in the urine, and other types of symptoms associated with organ damage.
I was just going to jump in that sometimes also in juvenile arthritis it can affect the eyes. There can be inflammation and particles in the eyes called uveitis. It's another problem that is a result of the juvenile arthritis. They're not able to walk at the same ages, or if they have started to walk, then they sometimes can go backwards and revert backwards. And it's difficult to diagnose. It's not the first thing that your pediatrician is going to say is that, oh, they might have juvenile arthritis. Very difficult to diagnose.
Well, that's something that happened with the issue of lupus. A lot of people have lupus for several years and are not diagnosed or misdiagnosed. And then, you know, it comes out, okay, now you have lupus. So I guess with autoimmune disease, is that a trend, Dr. Ware, that it's difficult to diagnose or pinpoint what type of autoimmune they have?
It's easier now because we have many more sophisticated diagnostic tests. But again, it's many of these diseases are slow in onset, and so a patient oftentimes just sort of adjusts to that those feelings,
the symptoms. Mm-hmm.
That they might have. So, but when it does hit a certain point where the joints are abnormally stiff in rheumatoid arthritis, or you become anemic and have difficulty breathing, then you know things are happening.
Yeah. I want to mention to the audience, you kind of downplay, well, I'm not a clinician, but you are a recipient of the Merit Award from the U.S. Public Health Service National Institutes of Health, and that is a 10-year award which is given for outstanding record of scientific achievement. So you're very well established. Don't be afraid to mention those things about yourself. We're bashful there, but he knows what he's talking about, people. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, thank you, Joy. You're right. I am a little bit bashful in that regard. But, you know, the National Institutes of Health is one of those government agencies that does so well in working for the people in terms of progressing scientific research and making science attractive to young people to get them into these careers so that we can solve these very difficult problems. These are not problems that are going to be solved overnight. These are generational problems that will take several generations to solve, but we are making progress. And you know, from a 10-year support from the National Institutes of Health, like the grant I received, really takes the burden of having to continually seek out funding and gives me more time to do research. And so for that, I've been exceptionally grateful. And in response to that, we've also been a little bit lucky, but also determined, and have brought a couple of new opportunities into the clinic that are into clinical trials now that are also targeting the inflammatory process, and we have a couple more in development. So we're really grateful for the support that we get from the National Institutes of Health. But with that said, I'd also add that, you know, in current financial situations, it's the NIH has had to cut its budget, and
yes.
Consequence of that is that many young people that would normally be thinking about careers in science are doing other things. And I think we'll see this dip in attracting the brightest minds into the scientific field in another 5 to 10 years. And so that's the purpose of the Arthritis National Research Foundation, is to fill that gap and to provide support for young investigators so they can make it through that period of time when they're really trying to establish themselves.
It's so needed. I want to bring up the issue of recently you had the Racing for a Cure program. Can you tell the audience a little bit about that?
Oh, yes, thanks. We are very small administratively, and we strive to keep that 91 cents of every dollar that we receive goes into our research programs. So we developed a program called Racing for a Cure that will help create awareness about arthritis, about juvenile arthritis. And the program can be used by your audience no matter where they are, no matter what race they're running. If they're running, biking, walking, or triathlon, you name it, swimming, any race that they're doing, we will support them. We will send them a jersey that says Racing for a Cure. We will send their supporters T-shirts. And the purpose, as I said, is to create awareness. If they have a heart for fundraising and they have a heart because the disease affects them or their friends or their family directly, we will develop a fundraising page for them. And all they have to do is personalize it to themselves and send it out on the email. It's very easy. But the purpose is to expand all across the country. We've recently had folks in the state of Washington, in Florida, in Pennsylvania. So all over the country, it's beginning to take hold, and people will be wearing a Racing for a Cure jersey during their race. So that people will say, wow, what is that? What is it that you're supporting? So that's the basis. And they can contact us through the website or through the 800 number that you mentioned, and we'd be happy to get them started.
Well, let me mention the 1-800 number. Again, it's 1-800-588-CURE. Also, I want to mention that you guys are on Twitter, and your Twitter hook is ArthritisNRF. Again, that's ArthritisNRF. And they're also on Facebook, which is facebook.com/cureArthritis. So if you're interested in learning more about the Research Foundation, you can check them out on Twitter, follow them on Twitter, and go to their Facebook page. Also, they have a YouTube address, which is cureArthritis. They have a blog where you can leave comments about different stories and learn some news about what's going on with the foundation. But that's an awesome opportunity for a young person, if you're listening, trying to figure out, you know, what can I do in my community? Maybe your grandparent or maybe somebody you know in your school is a young person that is dealing with arthritis. This is a way to support them, Racing for a Cure. You know, maybe you're doing a 5K or something, and you could wear the jersey to bring more attention to this autoimmune issue or the osteoarthritis. I want to thank you so much for your flexibility today. Again, for calling in later. Dr. Ware, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge about the disease, and Helene, thank you for sharing knowledge about the foundation for coming on today.
Well, it's been a delight, and thank you so much for the opportunity. Look forward to hearing from you and some of your listeners. And we're here. We're here for you, and we're here to have the science move forward.
Thank you,
Joy. Dr. Ware. Are you still there? Okay. Thank you so much. Let me mention the 1-800 number again, 1-800-588-CURE. Also, the website is curearthritis.org. Also, I know you guys are not connected, but I do want to mention about the Arthritis Foundation, and they have a lot of wonderful information there as well. That's arthritis.org. It's a different organization, but I do want to mention them. They are, I guess, more patient-centered, whereas your foundation is toward the research, but that is so important and key. And as Dr. Ware mentioned, money is dwindling. The government is not supporting as much as they used to, so please call their 1-800-588-CURE to support them. Or Race in the Cure. If you don't have money, you can Race in the Cure and get people to support you in that form. If you're a researcher, go to their website and apply for one of their grants there. It would be a wonderful opportunity for you as a researcher. Again, thank you so much, Helene, and thank you, Dr. Ware, for coming on today.
Thank you, Joy.
Thank you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, thank you for your patience for tuning in later to the show. Usually the show's at 11:30. But, again, it's a very important issue. March is Arthritis Awareness Month, and I wanted to have the organization on. They're highlighting the research they're doing, breaking ground there. But they need help in doing that. So you can help by Racing for a Cure. You can help by donating your time. You can help just by following them on Twitter, ArthritisNRF, or checking them out on Facebook and spread the word about what's happening and the new treatments and things that are out there. But also, if you know a doctor who you're dealing with because you have arthritis, steer them toward the foundation, and maybe they can get some support for their research, which would help you in turn, kind of a reciprocity situation there. Thank you so much. Again, follow me on twitter.com/JoyKeys. Become a fan on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys and send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is saturdayswithjoykeys@hotmail.com. Again, I give away a lot of things. The other week I gave away a $20 Whole Foods gift card, books, movie tickets. So definitely want to follow on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook to find out about the giveaways. You guys have a wonderful Saturday, and tune in next Saturday. We'll be talking about colorectal cancer and also talking with a young actress who's going to be on the VH1 Single Ladies. So that's next Saturday, the 24th, at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern. Have a wonderful weekend.